Pray with me. Gracious God, open us now to the comforting disturbance and the disturbing comfort of your word. May it move across the pages of the narrative that we are writing with our lives, and may we be in touch with the deeper narrative of love and of justice and of peace that is yours for all people. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, what we have just heard read is one of the finest, most powerful stories in all of Scripture. It is genius. It is full of meaning. I think it is the Bible at its best. What a matchup. Pharaoh, the king of kings, versus Shiphrah and Puah, two midwives who were just birthing babies. I mean, Pharaoh can do anything he wants. Pharaoh builds pyramids. Pharaoh controls the known world. Pharaoh enslaves people. Pharaoh is rich beyond imagination. Pharaoh is a god, with a small g, for God's sake. He is a god in human visage. People bow down to old Pharaoh. And they do what he says. You see, people fear Pharaoh. But in this tale, if you listen carefully, the oppressor, you see, fears the oppressed. Isn't that the way it always is? Oppressors fear the oppressed. From Libya to South Africa to Israel to America. What will the oppressed do if they become too many and they get power? What will the rich do if the poor get more? Pharaoh, he thinks that by killing the boy babies, Egypt will be saved. I mean, how silly is that? Not only is he wiping out the future labor force, but he's got the wrong babies in his sight. Because the girls and the women, as we see, are much more dangerous and much more powerful. And can I get an amen? And much more to be feared. You see, they are agents of life, right? And they are servants of the living God. Oh, Pharaoh may be godlike, but to the biblical writer, and I wouldn't be surprised if a woman wrote this, because to the biblical writer, that old Pharaoh remains nameless. Doesn't even have the status of the midwives. He is impotent. Uh-oh. When he's matched against Shiphrah and Puah. I mean, don't you get it? This is a story that works on so many levels. It blows my mind. Earthly and the cosmic level. I mean, we're getting cosmic power out of this story. And a historical and an eternal level. Maybe a factual level. Certainly a metaphorical level. A personal level. A community level. A then level and a now level. A them level and an us level. So you got to be ready. You have to have your ears attuned. You have to have your mind open, people. I mean, I just have to warn you with the wonderful words of Betty Davis in that movie All About Eve. When you open Exodus, you better fasten your seatbelt because it's going to be a bumpy ride. Don't overthink this. I don't want you to know the facts. I want you to feel the truth, be in awe of the mystery, and turn your life to God. The one who is always creating, the God who is always restoring, the God who is always redeeming, the God who is always liberating, the God who is always birthing. In the most surprising ways, through the most surprising people, Maybe even you. Maybe even you. The mighty king with no name. He's forgotten the name of Joseph. Either because of the passage of time or a determined decision to change course and pursue domination. But you see, that name Joseph will never be forgotten. Not by the people who are called chosen. Not by the community that defines itself as fearing the God of creation, who works not by the ways of this world, not through the economics of power and oppression, not by the systems of domination and suppression. But we who remember the name of Joseph fear God who works through the hands of midwives. We serve the God who we see and hear in the cries of the babies in the baskets in the bulrushes. We believe in a God who works through the secretive ways of prostitutes who hide Jewish spies, the unexpected faithfulness of foreigners like Ruth, and the riskiness of Mary, the handmaid of the Lord. That's the kind of God we serve. That's how God works. Just read the Bible. See, we have to get it through our minds. It is not by the power of the ways of the world. You see, God is most alive in the back rooms of the midwives, delivering life in places of death and slavery and oppression and hopelessness. I know this is kind of a, you know, turn things inside out, but somehow we got to get our imagination that God is most present, you see, in those places where we feel God's absence. And in our own Christian story, where is God most alive? Perhaps as he's hanging dead on the cross. It's this marvelous, sublime irony. You can't quite get your head around it, but maybe you can give your heart to it. See, if you can't get your head around irony and ambiguity and paradox and possibilities like this story presents, if you can't imagine that what you think is obvious isn't, if you can't realize that the way the world works is not the way the kingdom of God works, you may be reading a different Bible, you may be serving a foreign God, thinking that God is just going to come down and fix things. But you see, God doesn't do what we expect. Now, don't get me wrong. God will remove pretenders. History will show that old Pharaoh and dictators and furors and emperors and empires don't really last all that long. Remember, 1,000 ages in thy sight are like a moment gone. What our God is subtle in God's power and devious in her appointments, and sneaky in God's manner, calling on your instincts and your native intelligences. God uses those of us who have nowhere else to go to transform the world and deliver this kingdom by any means possible. This story is inviting us to get big, to think large, feel beyond our limits, to repent and get a new mind for a new age, a larger imagination to think through and beyond the limited reality that is before any of us. Old Pharaoh, thinking he can tell those midwives not to do what they were born to do, which is to deliver babies and give life. It's not the way of God to stifle your vocation, to squash your calling, to tell you what you can't do. Right? God is a God of liberation. You got to be ready for that. Here is Pharaoh wanting to kill, because that is the way of dominating systems, to control, to stifle, to stuff, to limit, to put down, to bully. But that is not the way of God through the hands of the divine servants, the cheek of those midwives. Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, because they're vigorous and give birth before the midwives come to them. Picture that. They are sticking it to the man. You know, I was petrified to talk to the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, this past summer in a Starbucks in Washington, D.C. Man, I was deferential, I was obsequious, and I was awed before power. Shiphrah and Puah should have taught me a lesson. Look at old Pharaoh and said, yeah, right, kill this. Miss Leaf, she telling everybody in town I'm stealing. That's why I can't get no work. That witch done turned me into the smart mouth criminal maid in Hinds County. Hold on, Minnie, get your breath. Before work this morning, I go over to the Renfro's over on Sycamore, and Miss Renfro nearby chased me off the property. Say Miss Hilly told her about me. Everybody know I stole a candelabra from Miss Walters. I can hear the grip she got on the phone sound like she's trying to crush it in her hand. I hear Kendra holler, and I wonder why Minnie already home. She usually don't leave work till 4. I ain't done nothing but feed that old woman good food and look after her. Minnie, I know you honest. God knows you honest. Her voice dipped down like bees on a comb. When I walk into Miss Walters, Miss Hilly be there and she try to give me $20. She say, take it. I know you need it. And I about spit in her face. But I didn't. No, sir. She starts making that panting noise. She says, I did worse. What you did. I ain't telling nobody about that pie. But I give her what she deserve. She wailing now, and I feel a really cold fear. Ain't no game crossing Miss Hilly. I ain't never going to work again. Leroy going to kill me. Kinder gets to crying in the background. Minnie hang up without even saying goodbye. I don't know what she's talking about, a pie. But law knowing Minnie, it could not have been good. That's from Catherine Stockett's best-selling novel, The Help. You know, what I read is a phone conversation between two maids, Abilene and Minnie, like the midwives, they're named, who serve the white establishment in Jackson, Mississippi. Miss Hilly is like Pharaoh, but her kingdom is small. Miss Hilly, however, represents the given, the status quo, the way things are, the Jim Crow South and racist America. Minnie and Abilene, just two oppressed but powerful midwives, you see, bringing to birth a new promise out of the small and the limited. Now, of course I'm on the side of the midwives, man. Shiphrah and Puah are heroes. Of course I cheer on Minnie and Abilene. But my friends, this is where the biblical story gets tough and edgy for me, and I don't know if it's tough and edgy for you, but I got to share what's on my heart. See, I am the beneficiary of our modern Pharaoh culture. You see, I am a beneficiary of the white privilege of dominating systems. It is true. Those people who remain nameless to us, those people who are actually blamed by some for not paying taxes out of their nothing, guess who does know their name? The God of the chosen ones has other plans and other means and other people. Not within the structure, you see, but outside the walls. And thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ I too am brought along, a saved sinner, a frightened Pharaoh follower, stumbling to break free, trying to walk with Jesus, desiring in my heart of hearts to live and to be and to become a midwife. Do you see, biblical stories always move me, and I hope it moves you, to consider ourselves in the various parts. Not in condemnation, come on, but in honesty. That's all I'm looking for. The Egyptians became ruthless, we read in verse 13. I can't help it but read, in today's world where the safety nets are more and more withdrawn and the poor are seen as the problem, all those entitlements, and too many children on welfare. Like you and I don't have entitlements, please. And too many are living bitter lives, both in poverty and in wealth. But God knows. And God hears. And God will act. May not be in my time. I probably won't even recognize it. But even right now, something's going on. In and with and under. And this is the ongoing story, you see, of Exodus. The ongoing story of God forming a people out of suffering. Any kind of suffering. Forming a people out of slavery. Any kind of slavery. Forming a people out of oppression. Any kind of oppression. And it's not those of us who think we are the elite and powerful and gifted. It's the powerless, the oppressed, and the unseemly. The one who are jammed into ghettos and in the tents way down in Egypt land. It's true. It's in the Bible. Let's get literal about that. So the question lifted up by this first big story in the first chapter in the book of Exodus is, which God are you going to serve? Who is your God? The God of the present political economic system? Well, the God of the solar system? The cosmos, you see, is always going to bend towards liberation. And that day is coming. The story is our story. Exodus is our narrative. And it washes over me like some tsunami or maybe pre-birth water breaking. But the very source of my drowning, you see, is the very source of my freedom. Baptism. Dead to sin and alive to grace, I am born again. And in closing, maybe the surprise verse for me in this text is verse 21. Look at it. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. I don't know what that means precisely, but it is gracious. Because of Shipra and Puah, God has given to you and to me a very large family indeed. One that extends beyond our personal bloodlines or race or creed or color or orientation or anything else. In Jesus Christ, remember, all are made alive through Jesus Christ. There is no separation, male, female, slave, free, Jew, or Greek. In God, we have this family, and we are called to be a people. A chosen people, not just a collection of individuals with individual rights to abort or carry guns or get some vaccine for cervical cancer, but a family of faith who cares for the neediest, who sees God working and is cheering on the Shipras and the Puahs, the Abilenes and the Minis. God needs a people who are willing to stand up to old Pharaoh and birth some babies. Amen.